Welcome to Out of the Office. I'm your host, Kaylin Spickler, bringing you ideas for your next Out of the Office adventure.
You've got to get that bird's eye view of the valley.
Off the couch and away from video games.
If there was one event I would keep inventing, this is the baby.
Got a few things in store.
Every month we sit down with business owners, regional experts, and everyday people to talk about all there is to offer in the Roanoke region.
That's the thing, right? Like, there's always so much fun stuff to cover on a podcast.
My favorite day.
They're having a blast.
We are loving it.
April is National Pickleball Month, and to start us off on this month's podcast, we have Nick Perez joining us from USA Pickleball. He is the Mid-Atlantic Region Director, and Alex North is also in the studio to piggyback off some things that Nick will share, and then we will get to continue the conversation with Alex later on in the episode to hear about all of the fun that Parks, Recreation, and Tourism is offering this spring and summer. So Nick and Alex, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks as always for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Nick, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Kaylin. I really am always happy to talk about pickleball. I sometimes think people get tired of listening to me. But I love the sport of pickleball. So USA Pickleball is the national governing body for pickleball in the United States. Our mission is to promote the development and growth of pickleball in the U.S. and its territories. So I am, as the regional director, I support over 270 ambassadors throughout the Mid-Atlantic region, which is Maryland, D.C., Virginia, North, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Wow.
And ambassadors are volunteers who have pledged to support and promote the sport of pickleball because they love it too. Mm-hmm. So that's just what we do.
Okay. Well, pickleball is taking over, and for all of you Swifties out there, this is something you can do even with a broken heart. I have only played a couple of times, but I would like to play more. So can you give us a little bit of a heads up just on what the rules are?
Well, first off, you only need a few things to get started in pickleball, and that's good because the barrier to entry is low. You can buy a paddle. For under $50, they go up to multiple hundreds of dollars, but I don't recommend that for beginners. They don't need it. You can buy a couple balls. There are indoor balls and outdoor balls, but they can be used interchangeably if you wish. And one big safety issue that I always like to mention is court shoes. Running shoes and general sports shoes don't have the lateral support you need for the side-to-side motion in pickleball. So those things you need. Now, we're lucky we have a lot of free public courts in the Roanoke area. So again, there's no cost involved in using those. So once you've got all that out of the way, then pickleball is basically a doubles sport. There are people who play singles, but the vast majority of recreational play is doubles. So you have a court that is 44 feet long by 20 feet wide and a net in the middle. So you play to 11, win by 2 points. Only the serving team wins points during a rally. The serve is underhanded. You serve diagonally to the opposite court, There's something called a two-bounce rule. Once you've served the ball has to bounce in your opponent's court before they can hit it. They return the ball and it has to bounce again before you can hit it. From that point on, you can hit the ball out of the air as long as you don't go in what we call the no volley zone. Okay. No volley zone, meaning you can't volley the ball. And a volley is a ball that's hit out of the air before it bounces. So those are the kind of the basic rules. There's, of course, plenty of other intricate rules of the game, which you will learn as you start playing the sport. But that's kind of just a general idea.
Yeah. So, like on the national level, local interest is continuing to grow and grow very quickly. So what has it been like to be part of this just very fast-paced growth?
It's been so exciting. And as you say, it's just exploding across the United States. It was growing fairly rapidly before COVID, but when COVID hit and people needed something to do outside that was relatively safe, you know, they weren't in huge crowds, pickleball filled that need, and it from that point on, it just reached critical mass. So many people learned about it, and they told their friends, and they got family members playing. So it has just exploded. In Roanoke, we're actually pretty lucky. We have a lot of courts. The local municipalities have set up lots of open public courts for us to use. The Y's have courts inside. There are health clubs that have courts inside. There are private communities, or private facilities, rather, that have these indoor courts. So we're pretty lucky. Across the nation, there are a lot of cities that really don't have enough courts to support the numbers of people who want to play. And that's kind of frustrating. And that's one of the jobs that ambassadors do, is they kind of try and help to get more courts going. So pickleball has so many benefits. The mental health, the physical exercise, the sociability, the emotional support. And pickleball is a community. It's different than most other sports. We always talk about the pickleball community. We don't talk about, you know, just going to play pickleball and that's it. Mm-hmm. You meet new friends just about every time you go to play. So it's a wonderful thing to get people out of the house, off the sofa, improve their health.
And especially in like Roanoke County, from mm-hmm. our perspective in Parks, Rec, and Tourism, I think Nick hit it right on the head. After COVID, we saw an increase in the demand and, you know, what our citizens in the community wanted. And so we were able to, 2021 was the first year where we were able to open some new pickleball courts at Stonebridge Park over in Vinton, where we have two courts. Garce Mill, we opened six courts there that year as well. And then as soon as last year, we opened one at Oak Grove Park and then six at Warren. So in our inventory in the outdoor court spaces, we have 15 total courts, which is pretty good, because for most folks in the county, specifically in the region, you're really, I mean, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, you're about 10 to 15 minutes from a pickleball court.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we also have some indoor court options at Green Ridge Recreation Center, where we've resurfaced some new courts and got some new lines in the gym. So, I mean, we can have up to six courts there. And we have open play for our outdoor facilities. It's basically open play, kind of pick up, come as you go. I know a lot of the folks in the region use Playtime Scheduler, mm-hmm. which you can touch on here in a minute. But then at Green Ridge, we have specific times where it's open play, where we have, whether it's shared use with the gym or all six courts are in use. So there's really a lot of variety and options here in the region, and specifically in Roanoke County. It's been really cool to see the increased demand and growth, and seeing a lot of different age groups out there, which is really fun to see.
Yes. Yeah. So he mentioned Playtime Scheduler.
Yes.
It's playtimescheduler.com, and that's a website. It's not an app. And that's what, in Roanoke, just about everybody uses that to find where they want to play, what time, locations, and all that. There are other ways of doing that. People do texting, they email. There are things like Sign Up Genius. But for in the Roanoke area, Playtime Scheduler is the primary method of finding play, and it's pretty easy to operate.
Okay. And I know there's also the Roanoke Valley Pickleball Club Facebook group, and mm-hmm. that has like thousands of members.
Yes, there are several thousand members on the Facebook page. The mm-hmm. club itself has probably close to 1,000. I know Playtime Scheduler has, they must be hitting close to 1,500 members for Playtime Scheduler. So it's pretty big. And you would think with those numbers that the courts would be just slam full, you wouldn't have mm-hmm. a chance, but that's not the way it works. Because we have so many different places, and you can play throughout the day if you're lucky enough to be retired or not working. So mornings typically tend to be more common usage, and afternoons during colder months. In the warmer months, then early in the morning and later in the evening work out better, because for the temperature and the sun.
Especially like last night, I was going to walk on the greenway with my wife and my son, and we live over near Stonebridge Park. And as we're turning into the park, what do I see on the courts? You had both tennis courts were in use, and then we had a group of like eight high schoolers, you know, enjoying the evening playing pickleball. So, and like I mentioned earlier, the age range is really cool to mm-hmm. see, because when I played with some of my neighbors and some of my buddies in the community, it's cool because you can really pick up a game with anyone. And that's mm-hmm. that's what I really enjoy, because, you know, growing up, played recreational sports, played baseball, soccer, and basketball. And, you know, once you're a little bit older, I mean, tennis for me wasn't the easiest. It was a little bit tougher, you know, to play a two-on-two or a one-on-one. And when I first started playing, you know, you got to learn the scoring, which that's a little confusing at first. But once you get the hang of that, you can really play with anyone, which is great.
Absolutely. What other sport can you think of where a 70 or 80-year-old person can play with and against a teenager?
Right.
And that does happen. There's a lady in Salem. We love her, and she's in her mid-80s, and she plays many times a week. And many times when she's playing people in their 20s, 30s. And I'm sure there's been some occasions when they were teenagers. So
yeah.
It's just a great intergenerational sport.
Yes, and I like that point that you mentioned, which is kind of what makes it unique. Mm-hmm. And I am curious what you think then, if pickleball is just a trend or if this is something that is here to stay, particularly because of that uniqueness factor that you're talking about.
Well, pickleball has an expanding demographic of players. In mm-hmm. other words, in early years, it was more older people playing it. There were all age groups playing, but the biggest group of people playing were retired people. That has, over the last few years, the average age has dropped, and then now it's in the 30s now for the average wow. age. So it has, the demographic for the players is expanding, which will only continue to grow pickleball. I don't see pickleball going away anytime soon. And I did hear early on, you know, maybe it's just a fad or it's something that, you know, is hot now and it'll die out. But I don't see that. Now, I might be biased, but I don't really see that as something that's going to happen. And by some estimates, there are up to 35 million people playing pickleball in the United States now. The official wow. numbers that USA Pickleball puts out is somewhere 10 to 12 million. But there was a survey by one of the pro groups, and that's what they came up with, somewhere around 35 million.
Okay. Well, I mean, the reach is national, but, you know, you see it on TV now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've turned on ESPN or Fox Sports, and it's been on, and it's really cool to see those folks. I mean, they are professional pickleball players, and, I mean, we have fun, but those people go hard. I mean, it's really cool to see that. Absolutely. And, I mean, there's some Instagram pages I follow. I think the Dink Pickleball, the tournaments and the settings that these athletes are performing in, it's really amazing.
It is. And that's one of the great things about pickleball. And I touched upon that talking about the older people playing. You can play pickleball at whatever level your physical abilities allow you to play and still have fun. Now, if you have bad knees and you can't move around a lot, we have people with double knee braces and stuff. They can't move across the court as well, but they can increase their skill level to where if the ball, they can get to the ball, they can get it back. Mm-hmm. And so you just play at whatever level you're comfortable with, but you can go pretty hard out and get a good workout with pickleball if that's what you want to do.
Right. So I played tennis in high school, mm-hmm. and I know we've talked about that comparison just a little bit already. How do you see pickleball and tennis either competing with each other or maybe working together, given that some tennis courts are turning into pickleball courts? But also, I know at one of the courts I played at a couple weeks ago, the pickleball net was on wheels. So you were actively changing the tennis court and making it a pickleball court. It was just you then had that option.
Right. Tennis has been around a long time. It's mm-hmm. a great sport. I don't think it's going away. But pickleball appeals to such a wider variety of people.
Right.
And the two can coexist. I think we need cooperation between both of them. Historically, because tennis courts were such a great place for pickleball people wanted to use the tennis courts, and of course the tennis people didn't want to give it up. And so there have been some turf wars between pickleball and tennis in that respect. But as pickleball grows and the demand grows, the municipalities are responding by creating dedicated pickleball courts, and then that leaves the tennis courts for tennis people. So, you know, that it can work. You just have to come up with some common sense solutions. So,
which, I mean, that's a perfect point. Like Stonebridge, for example, we converted one of the tennis courts into two pickleball, and we still have other tennis facilities there. So it's like I mentioned last night, you saw both users coexisting on the same space, which, I mean, once we resurface those courts, I mean, the aesthetic, it looks a lot nicer, but also it's a safer place to actually play and participate, you know, and for folks to get introduced to the game, whether it's tennis or pickleball. So the coexisting part is really key, especially for where we're positioned in the county, because we have renovated some tennis facilities straight over to pickleball, but we do have some of those that are a hybrid, and it's been a great partnership. And I think the two groups together have really coexisted. And, you know, you've seen some tennis players, you know, convert to pickleball and still play tennis, which is nice as well.
Yeah. And he mentioned the safety issue. Some of the tennis courts that were no longer really being utilized mm-hmm. became places where people, you know, got hung out and, you know, got into trouble. And with the constant use now with pickleball, the people that spend so much time there just hanging out and creating problems don't want to be in that kind of environment. So it's created safer places where the pickleball has become popular too.
That's a great point. Yeah. So Nick, your job with USA Pickleball has probably changed a lot in the last couple of years. So how long have you been with USA Pickleball?
Well, I was an ambassador for a couple of years before I became the regional director, mm-hmm. and I became the regional director about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Really, my job hasn't changed a lot
okay.
in what I do, but it has become busier, and I have more ambassadors now than I did before. So a lot of what I do on a day-to-day basis is answer emails from ambassadors who are looking for answers or results from information that I can find for them and answers from USA Pickleball that I can give them. But my very favorite thing to do as the regional director is to go out throughout the region and meet ambassadors. We have meetings in areas, so it's divided into districts. So each state has a number of districts. States are grouped together to form the regions, and then three regions form a sector. So throughout the states that I cover, I love to get out and have ambassador meetings and meet those ambassadors, and we try to have a little pickleball play, a meeting where I answer questions and tell them any news, and we go to have lunch, and it's just kind of the same thing as the pickleball community in general. It's very social.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I think that is something I've noticed a lot when people talk about pickleball, is it isn't just pickleball. It is the pickleball community. We had Karen Crawford in mm-hmm. a video with us back in the summer, and she talked a lot about the community that pickleball has brought.
Yeah, I love
to the
Karen.
Area.
She is such a welcoming person. She just knows everybody mm-hmm. and welcomes everybody, and she'll get you going with pickleball if she has the chance.
And that's a great point, because the first time I actually was introduced to the sport, it was after the courts opened at Garce Mill, and we went over there to take some pictures and video, you know, just post online about it, and I ended up playing like 30 minutes with a bunch of folks who I'd never met before,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and I never played, and it was a blast, and it's a workout. It is an absolute
workout.
It can
definitely be.
And it's really great to see, you know, the community as a whole, specifically those pickleball ambassadors, be able to, you know, identify someone who maybe doesn't look lost or someone who's just trying to learn the game and kind of introduce them to that and really, you know, grow that community here in our region, which is really nice. Now, mm-hmm. I got a question, just kind of thinking about it. You know, with the Olympics coming up this summer, do you think that pickleball will ever become an Olympic sport or kind of on that tier of kind of national and international competition?
I do think that eventually it will become an Olympic sport. The requirements are, one of the requirements is it must be played in, I think it's 75 countries on 4 continents by men. And for women, it has to be played in 40 countries on 3 continents. So we're working on bringing on national governing bodies in enough countries that it meets that requirement. We didn't get chosen to be a demo sport or anything yet, but we're going to work on that for the next go round. And I think within the next 8 years, the next 2 Olympics, I certainly hope and feel like pickleball will be at least a demo sport, which will lead then to full acceptance as a sport in the Olympics.
Interesting, because like I know locally there's some high school club teams where kids have like their own pickleball club in high school. And I think some universities as well, which mm-hmm. that's really cool to see. And you know, that'll hopefully get the ball rolling and keep, you know, the younger generation interested and hopefully propel it to that stage.
Well, yeah, you watch Olympics, and while older people have a great time playing pickleball, so many people at home and the younger kids, they're probably not that interested in watching a bunch of old people playing a sport. But if they see people their age or maybe just a little older than them in this great sport, then it inspires them to want to join in and learn and become really good at it. So you know, I think that's one of the youth is where the future lies for pickleball.
For sure.
That's a great question. I feel like we should start training for the Olympics, is
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing.
2030s, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're not too far off.
No. Well, Nick, we do always play a game here on the podcast called Roanoke Rapid, which is very similar to Fast Money on Family Feud. And for this, I thought we would do something similar, but the answer is more straightforward. So we have some pickleball terms, and I was hoping that you could give us the definition, because some of the terms are a little bit unique.
Yes, they are.
And I actually had to look up this first one to make sure it wasn't like a bad word when we did the first video. So the first one you might be able to guess is dink.
Yes. So dink is a short shot that goes just over the net. There's an area called the no volley zone, and you want to get this shot to go just over the net, land in the no volley zone so that your opponent can't attack you. While you wait for them to return it and get it a little high that you can then attack them with. So that's a dink.
Okay, good to know. Kitchen is another one.
So the kitchen, you hear, stay out of the kitchen in pickleball. The kitchen is the same place as I mentioned, the no volley zone. Kitchen is a colloquial term, and it's the same thing. So it's a 7-foot area in front of the net, and you can't go in this area and volley the ball. So the rules are a little arcane, and they get a little involved, but basically you can't be in the kitchen, no volley zone, and hit a ball out of the air before it bounces.
Okay. Okay. So that goes back to what you were talking about with the double bounce.
Well, sort of, yeah, okay. Because you can't hit it out of the air for the first two hits, but then once those first two hits have been accomplished, you can hit it out of the air as long as you don't violate the kitchen.
Okay.
Meaning going into the kitchen.
Okay. So then another one would be drop shot volley.
All right. So a drop shot is basically any shot you hit that with the intention of making it short of your opponent, meaning you don't want to get it right to your opponent where it's an easy return for them. So if they're further back on the court and you can hit a shot that lands 10 feet in front of them, then they're going to have a harder time getting to it. But more often what it really refers to is what we call a third shot drop. And that's basically a defensive shot that you're hitting from somewhere on the court, trying to get it into that kitchen area we talked about earlier so that they can't attack you and you can then move forward to be in a better position. So a third shot volley, we generally don't use the term volley in a conjunction with it. It's just a third drop shot.
Okay.
So, but most often does refer to that shot into the kitchen so that you can advance.
Okay. Well, and so I know that list was fairly short, those three, in addition to the double bounce. That was another one I saw. And I think my tennis brain was just thinking, like, it can't bounce twice, and that's a fault. So that's good to know then that double bounce means something different in pickleball. Right. Alex, are there any other terms that...
That you pretty much nailed it.
Okay.
I've seen someone online and social media where if the ball is going towards the boundary zone, like on the right or left side of the court, can you hit it around the net?
Yes.
Seen that.
So around the post shot, ATP, is a maneuver where if your opponents send a really strong angled shot and it bounces on your court, which if it doesn't bounce on your court, it would be out. There would be no point in hitting the ball. So it bounces in your court and goes really wide outside the right or left boundary line. So when the point you get to the ball, if there's a line of sight between where the ball is and part of their court, you can actually hit the ball low, not sending it back over the net, but rather around the post. And as long as that return shot hits their court before it hits anything else, then that is a valid shot. Now, most of the time, that shot is a winner, meaning the other team doesn't get it back. But I have seen people who happen to get themselves in the right position to get that incoming ball and get it back over the net and continue the rally. So it's not necessarily a winner, but it's a really good shot.
Wow.
There's another one called an Ernie where it looks like the person is violating the kitchen because they jump over the corner of the kitchen and hit the ball as it's coming to their side of the court.
Oh.
And so you can't, part of the rules state that if you touch the no volley zone kitchen with any part of you, your foot, your hand, your paddle, whatever, you have to reestablish yourself outside of that area before you can hit a ball out of the air.
Okay.
So You can run through the corner of the court, but you have to get both feet on the ground on the playing surface outside of that area before you would be allowed to hit the ball. So jumping over the corner is not a problem because you haven't actually touched the no volley zone. And then you take that ball out of the air as it's coming in. And generally you catch your opponent by surprise.
Yeah, I would imagine.
That's very helpful because next time I'm out there, hopefully I don't get into a pickle. But hopefully I may be able to attempt that and kind of catch my buddies by surprise.
Yep.
Well, that sounds good. Nick, thank you so much for just explaining pickleball and explaining the rules and vocabulary and also just touching on your experiences. I thought this was really great to learn more. And Alex, you provided great insights too to loop everything back to what we offer here in Roanoke County.
Well, thanks as always, you know, for having me. I know we got a little more to touch on here in a little bit, but you know, when I first heard about pickleball in my role, the first person I heard about was Nick Perez. So it's great to have you on. You know, we've met a few times at some other ribbon cuttings and events, and it's really great to see how, you know, your leadership and, you know, your role in the community has really, you know, propelled the sport to be offered to, you know, really anyone in the community and up and down the East Coast with your role with USA Pickleball.
I do want to point out something else here I just happened to think about. You don't even have to be able to walk to play pickleball. There is para pickleball or wheelchair pickleball.
Yeah.
And people who are in wheelchairs, I have seen some amazing play from people in, and they generally use sport wheelchairs. So that's another welcoming area of pickleball. So.
Yes. Yeah. I think pickleball definitely sounds like probably, if not the most inclusive sport, definitely very up there on inclusivity. And I think that's something that'll allow pickleball to stay longer than maybe some people might think it will.
Yep. And so any of you out there listening who want to join USA Pickleball, usapickleball.org, it's the national governing body of the sport. As I said, we provide the rules, we get grants. There's a lot going on, so it's really a great thing if you would join USA Pickleball.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is really fun.
Alex, it is time to talk about what is happening in Parks, Recreation, and Tourism over the next couple of weeks and looking even more ahead into the next couple months. So what do we have in store first?
Yeah, so April's been a really busy month, kind of the kickstart back into the groove of event season and really programs that we have offering in Parks and Rec. And so, you know, Food Truck Thursday is underway. We the first one, unfortunately, got canceled due to rain and weather. And the second one is taking place earlier this week. But we have two more coming up. One is on May 9th at Merriman Soccer Complex. That's a new location for folks in South County to enjoy some lunch with some local food trucks. And then the last one, we return back on May 23rd at Green Hill Park. So those food vendors, if you want the listing, I got that for you. We'll have Empanada Nirvana, Copper Dog and Company, Rocky Mount Smokehouse, which is a hit as always.
Yes.
Chris's Coffee and Custard will be there.
Good.
Driftwood Catering, and then Salty's Lobster Company. I think Driftwood and Salty's, I think, are rotating in and out of one of those. But we have five vendors at each, so you got a few food options, a few dessert options, some hybrids, and it's really great.
Good. I'm excited. I know I'm at least planning to go to the May 9th one, but I was hoping to go last week before it rained. And then this week, I just completely didn't process that when Thursday was.
Yeah. So the second one in April is at Walrum Park, and that's definitely one. We had it there last year and had some really good turnout from folks in North County, and some of the businesses around there really appreciated us, you know, offering something different. And it's always great to, you know, eat local, but also support local here in our parks.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm glad it was a great turnout and that people came out to show up for that this past week. And I know we have some fun things happening at Explore Park.
Yes, so the Tavern Stage Summer Music Series, the lineup is set. You'll see some more stuff if you follow us online and on our socials with some of those reveals. But if you're listening now and you've made it this far into the podcast, you're in luck. Because starting on, it's always the second Friday, the second Friday of the month at Explore Park, we have the Tavern Stage Summer Music Series at Twin Creeks Brew Pub up there. And so the first one is on May 10th, and that is going to feature Virginia Electric. And then June 14th will feature the Floorboards. July 12th is Carissa Joy and the High Frequency. And then August 9th is Creedence Clearwater Recital, cover band for CCR. And then we finish up the season in September, which is hard to believe that we're already talking September with Empty Bottles coming up on September 13th. So it's okay. It's a really great environment up there at the park. I know we went to a few last year, and it's a really cool, unique spot because whether you're taking the drive on Rutroff or the Parkway, it's a nice scenic drive. But then once you get there, you know, it's a really, really chill environment. You know, bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket. Twin Creeks does have some seating options outside near their fire pits, and the lawn will open at 5 and music starts at 6 and runs till about 8:30.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to them opening up. I think the springtime is a great time to have that because people are kind of, I say, like, I get out of hibernation and I defrost.
Yeah. Getting out there to explore Park, there's no other place that, you know, is better in my opinion to do that at.
Yeah, I agree. And I know there's other things happening at Explore Park, speaking of defrosting.
Yeah, so Treetop Quest is continuing operation. We had a successful opening weekend where we saw over 300 folks, and awesome. That was really fun because we talked about it on the last podcast, I believe, but we had our solar eclipse viewing.
Yes.
Out there, and that was really great. Channel 7 was out there live.
Awesome.
Which was a really cool experience, and we had about 150 folks, 180 folks there. We had some school groups and some adult groups as well that were able to take in the solar eclipse, and it was a little cloudy, but since we were on, like, I guess the southeastern part of the county, we got a little bit more visibility through some of those clouds and some of the folks maybe in Salem or in North County. So it was really, really cool to be out there, and it was a really unique experience.
Yeah. And I think just everything that you outlined in the last episode, having the science behind it, having the education, and then also having the Treetop Quest fun, all part of that one event.
Did you catch a solar eclipse on that day?
I did. I got to sneak outside and with a pair of glasses, and I was able to catch it when the clouds broke just for a second. And because it was so cloudy, I was able to actually take a picture with my phone.
Yeah.
And I sent it to my family, and my sister was like, how did you do that? Like, how did your phone not break?
Yeah.
But because it was cloudy enough here, I think we were able to do that a little more safely.
Yeah, it was funny because looking back at some of the pictures that we had and just some of the folks who are up there, you see everyone just looking up with the glasses, but then you saw the folks who had the glasses on top of their camera on their phone, which is really cool. Or there were some points where you're able to see it a little bit. Just, you know, with the cloud cover, which is really cool. So, but yeah, Treetop Quest is continuing operation later in May. In about a month, we switch to weekday operation Tuesday through Sunday. And right now we're servicing a lot of groups, and a lot of groups are booking up some of those slots, which is good to see the traffic out there. And we're looking forward to an exciting summer at Explore Park.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you also have the Nature's Classroom events happening as well.
Yeah, so we kind of started that this spring with our Rec Life brochure. And basically what Nature's Classroom is, it's an outdoor education space for environmental education and outdoor learning. And a lot of those programs take place, if you've been to Explore Park down at Journey's End, once you cross over the bridge into Riverside Village, we have the Hoffauger House, which has been renovated, got a new roof and some other amenities in there where folks can have an outdoor classroom experience and learn a lot about some different different categories of outdoor programming. We have nature hikes that will start from there. We have some nature education and then some outdoor activities as well. So if you follow us online on May 13th, which is a Monday, that's when registration opens for the summer session. So we'll have over 25 different programs that are based out of Nature's Classroom, and that takes place every Saturday, almost every Saturday at 10 a.m. and 1.
Wow.
So some of those programs are free, some of them are paid, kind of a low barrier to entry. And if you want to learn more about that, you can go on to our website at exploreparkpark.org and learn more about Nature's Classroom programs.
That's awesome. And speaking of registration, where are we at with summer camps? I know we touched on them also last episode.
Yeah, so we have, I believe, about 500 kids and campers signed up already. I should have looked at the numbers right before I came. But we're right at that benchmark, and we're tracking to have more than we've had in the last few years, which is good to see.
Awesome.
Our Kids in Camp program, which is our traditional summer camp, really a huge day camp for campers located at Green Ridge in South County at Cave Spring Elementary. Cave Spring Elementary is almost sold out.
Wow.
So, and they see about 40 to 50 kids a week, and those camps are really, you know, kicking off pretty well with some registration. Camp Roanoke's camp, they have over 100 kids registered for their 8 to 10 weeks of program offerings out there. And then our staff have been working hard at athletics, finalizing some other camps. They have a new wrestling camp this summer.
Awesome.
Yep. And then they're also still teaming up with the folks at Holland University, one of our collegiate university partners who we work with here in the Valley, to offer an all-sport camp for girls, okay. But then also offer a basketball and volleyball camp for girls. So we're kind of expanding the reach of our programs and being able to offer a little bit more for, you know, all ages and then all demographics for those kiddos.
That's awesome. And I know if none of those other things scream summer, then Splash Valley is probably the next thing that will make it feel like summer.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had some spells of, you know, mid-high 80s weather mm-hmm. lately, and that, I mean, you definitely want to get outside, and, you know, Splash yeah. Valley is a great way to cool off and enjoy some of the fun of summer this year. And we open Memorial Day weekend on May 25th, and summer operation at Splash Valley at the water park is Thursday to Sunday. So, you know, a little bit more limited of an operation, but, you know, we saw over 30,000 folks last year, and we're looking forward to seeing some more folks out there again this year. And you can go online to our website, RoanokeCountyParks.com or SplashValleyWaterPark.com, to learn more about admission rates, operating hours, some different events that we'll have going on, and some theme days that we'll learn more about once we get into summer. I'll have some of that for you then. And then if you want, folks can buy a season pass for that as well. So that way, if you buy a season pass, it's $99. If you're a Green Ridge member, it's $79. And once you pay for that for the individuals in your household, you can come up and gain entry to the park if it's not a capacity at any time throughout the summer.
Awesome. Well, we have a lot of fun in store, as to be expected, of course.
We have a Mums for Moms program. In the title, it's actually like, psst, hey, dads. Giving them a heads up so that way, you know, you guys and the people in that program can do some different crafts and different mom activities and some flower arrangements for your moms for Mother's Day, which is coming up in May, so don't yes. forget that.
Yeah.
And then we also have a Mommy and Me Royal Tea program, okay. which is kind of a daughter-mother activity where folks can kind of have an afternoon of, you know, a tea party, but with some royalty. We'll have some different princesses there as well, where our programmers have been able to work with some local organizations who can offer that as well. So that's definitely some good, interesting programming for the family to enjoy coming up here as we, you know, kind of get out of spring and into summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are plenty of opportunities for fun out of the office over the next month and even further ahead.
Yeah, for sure. And if anyone wants to go online and register, just visit RoanokeCountyParks.com, or you can follow us on our social media channels at Roanoke County Parks.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all of the updates and for helping to provide all the fun out of the office.
Thanks as always for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Out of the Office. We hope you have some pickleball fun or some parks, recreation, and tourism fun. Either way, we have you covered on all of your Out of the Office fun, and feel free to tag us on your pictures, Roanoke County Out of the Office.